Welcome to the Kitman Labs Game Changer Podcast. I'm Stephen Smith, CEO of Kitman Labs, and I'm thrilled to continue Season 5 with two of our NCAA partners who are leading the industry on data-powered, holistic student-athlete care. Huge welcome to Renee Klazinski, athletic trainer at Michigan State, and Josh Rucci, Senior Associate Director of Athletic Performance for Women's Basketball and Sports Science at the University of Georgia. Why don't we start by just telling us a little bit about yourself. Renee, let's start with you, and Josh, we'll get to you after that.
Sure. Again, Renee Klazinski, this is my about 30th year in athletic training, sixth or seventh year at Michigan State. And one of my primary focuses here is to help integrate the data science and talk with and build those collaborations with our performance and our academic people.
Awesome. And Josh, over to you.
Yeah, Joshua Rucci, at the University of Georgia. I've been primarily in charge of our women's basketball strength and conditioning since 2008. And in the past 2-3 years, I've moved into a dual role, also handling sports science for all of our Olympic sports. Much in the same way, coordinating, data analytics and organizing, kind of what Renee alluded to.
Yeah, awesome. I think it's it really sets us up for a really cool conversation today as well, because whilst both of you guys have had similar mandates, you're both coming at it from different angles as well, coming from the sports medicine and the strength and conditioning side. I think it'll have a really nice book contrast in certain components of what we talk about today, but there'll also be huge overlap, I think, in the goals that both of you guys have and your organizations have and how you're trying to roll out your programs. So as we talked about on our last episode, this is a pretty unprecedented time of change in collegiate athletics. There's a lot of compounding forces from the NIL, the transfer portal, conference requirements, rising mental health issues, transformation committee requirements, and all of these are driving, I think, transformation and modernization of student athlete care and a push to have an integrated approach to performance and health. And across the NCAA to address these, we're seeing a massive wave of schools looking to upgrade their use of data and their supporting technology. And specifically, what we're seeing is that they're looking to increase efficiency, standardize processes across all sports, create an interconnected data set that brings together disparate data sources about student athletes' health, wellness, physical development, training, and games into one centralized platform to accelerate progress and improve performance, operational, and even financial outcomes. And in doing so, the shift from data collection to intelligence creation has become paramount. Josh and the University of Georgia and Renee at Michigan State have been working on implementing these concepts over the last few years, and we're excited really to dig into your experiences and your lessons learned and overall expertise around that. Both of you guys have embarked on a journey to put systems and structures in place to deliver student-athlete care in a very holistic fashion. Let's start from the beginning. What is your university's vision for holistic student-athlete care, and how does your data and technology play into that? And I'm happy for either of you guys to jump in and grab the reins on that.
Sure. Josh, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Yeah, this has been a great journey over the past 2 years with y'all at Kitman. And to speak to the University of Georgia, we're blessed that, we now have a mental health and performance department. Obviously, we have our sports med department, strength and conditioning. And, that's obviously my primary field. But I think what a lot of people in the collegiate, domain are realizing is that strength and conditioning in these programs are really starting to kind of get siloed out. There was a big push many years ago to not silo out programs and teams, but at a lot of universities now, you have, one strength coach that might be working with baseball, one strength coach that might be working with basketball. And so that's, especially in the Power Five, that's becoming much more of the norm. And so now we're kind of going back to this process where people are getting siloed out and programs are getting siloed out. And, to be holistic in nature, I think it's really important that each of those programs and staffs in general have some type of way to communicate, right? And what Kitman has allowed us to do, I think, has been amazing, because now we have all of these different departments, mental health and performance, sports nutrition, sports med, strength and conditioning, they're all on one central platform, right? Where all of our information's coming in from each of these, you know, separate departments. And obviously, you know, we have the built-in permissions of who can see what and things like that. But the real value that we've seen is being able to communicate. And so a big push for us in the Athletic Association is to have these, you know, sports performance meetings, get all of those heads from the department around one program into a room and talk about things. And so being able to aggregate all of this data into one space has really facilitated a lot of these conversations. And anybody in athletics, specifically collegiate athletics, knows that getting four or five people from four or five different departments into a room for a meeting can be a task, especially when you're in season and everybody's busy. And so most of the time that happens, sometimes it doesn't happen, but this has allowed us to have conversations with our coaching staff, within, you know, support staffs to actually help our student athletes. You know, it's very easy to see, okay, well, this is what's happening on the court. This is how the ladies are responding to it based on our, you know, sports science data coming in. And then that can be communicated to mental health and performance, sports nutrition. And so it connects a ton of dots for us that I feel like really adds value to our student athletes. And it allows communication, not only amongst support staff, but with our student athletes. Like some of our student athletes are here and they don't even know, hey, we have a mental health and performance department that's there to help you. Right. And so if I see something, you know, on a weekly wellness questionnaire that, you know, one of our basketball ladies is really stressed, is not eating well, and that just happens to coincide with maybe a dip in physical performance on the court, that's a conversation that I can have with her and say, hey, what's going on? Do you need to talk to somebody? And, you know, I could come up with a million examples like that, but that's from a holistic standpoint, that's where I've really, really seen a benefit, you know, in this platform, is being able to just get the right amount, the right care to our student athletes.
Yeah, I love that. I think that concept of communication and bringing people together is, you know, it's what we're doing this for, but that connection from that communication to why are we doing this, and, you know, providing that care, having those conversations with the athletes. It's not just about communication across like your group of staff, but actually that communication and dialogue then to the athlete to help them understand what this means for them. I think that's, you know, that's where we see this really excel. Renee, from your perspective, how different is what you guys are doing at Michigan State to, you know, what Josh has talked about at University of Georgia?
Yeah. A little different, as we've, the past few years have kind of grown with the process as our departments have been expanding, where we've gone, say, for nutrition or sports performance from a person of one to a person of three or four or five. And like what you mentioned is the siloing is it's great because now we're getting new buildings and new spaces, but everybody is kind of getting off in their own turf, especially when, you know, just a few years ago, administration and coaches were in the same building. So everybody was used to just, you know, stopping the by and, you know, and talking back and forth. So this has helped us as we continue to build on to their health and wellness now, in ways now we're starting to have discussions of how can we continue to help them in the future, or how can we continue to help them outside of, you know, when they're not playing athletics. And what's nice is because everything that everybody is doing can live in one spot. Everyone can look at it at their own, on their own time, or see it that the way they want to see it. And so hopefully if there's that communication gap, you know, in the background, you know, someone could go into someone's file and say, hey, oh, this is actually what's been going on with this individual if they haven't seen them for a bit.
Yeah, I think that concept of like that shared knowledge or that shared intelligence is hugely powerful. And we see that across a lot of organizations as well, exactly what you mentioned. The increased professionalization, especially within the NCAA space, has meant that campuses are becoming larger and more spread apart. The different areas of that, whether it's your practice facilities or like the weight room versus where everything's happening on the field, like that bifurcation of all of the different aspects of where the athlete is interacting with staff means that natural dialogue and communication that would normally happen, as you said, in the hallways or in the building when everybody was together, can't happen anymore. And I think that places an increased emphasis on the role of technology to be able to provide that information, create that shared landscape of data, that shared intelligence to allow those conversations to happen no matter where you are. And I'd love to bring our audience on a journey to implement the vision, right? I remember specifically talking with you, Renee, in terms of when you guys were looking around at, you know, this step from where you were to starting to integrate that vision that you've just talked about. From choosing a technology to support you to centralizing and integrating data and processes to creating structure and managing daily operations. Both of you guys transitioned from a more traditional electronic medical record system to a multidisciplinary intelligence platform where you're most like, what were you guys most looking forward to in a new platform? What were the issues that you were dealing with back then? If you can cast your mind back to before all this started, what were the issues that you were dealing with? And then what were you most excited about and looking forward to as you jumped into this initiative?
Yeah. Unfortunately for us, our EMR system was being discontinued. And because this happened around COVID, we had time to thoroughly vet 8 or 9 different platforms and really kind of take time and think versus, you know, always to try to, you know, squeeze in different meetings. And as we began having more conversations about the base of what we wanted in our EMR system, we began to learn that we need to, you know, think in the future. And future proof. And it's amazing where we are now to just 3 years ago, because if you would have told me some of the things we're doing now compared to then, I would have been really surprised. But the transition and the platform has made it almost seamless for whether it's our athletic trainers who are just focused on the EMR to the athletic training staff that also is involved with some of our sports and data and analytics.
So if you were to pick your top two examples of either the issues that you were trying to overcome or the things that you couldn't have dreamed of being able to do, like what are those? Like, can you bring those to life for other schools that are listening that are thinking about like making a jump or are going through the same things that you were going through a couple of years ago?
Yeah, one of the biggest things was change. And trying to make the seamless change for the athletic trainers within the EMR system, because a handful of the athletic trainers, that was the only EMR system they've ever used. And so transitioning, we were looking at a program that gave us all the information that we already were collecting, and it helped keep the athletic trainer's job seamless, meaning it didn't create any extra workflows or any extra steps. We could still do what we normally did. And now we have an opportunity to get a lot more information and look at that, like the data from just the injuries and practices from a different aspect. And then now future proof is we've always been connected to our kinesiology department and been a big part of education and research. And so now this has kind of helped empowered some of our athlete trainers to make better decisions on return and return to play versus, you know, in the past where, you know, sometimes you, especially if it was a chronic injury, you just went into it kind of blind.
And you think from a return to play perspective and concept, the combination of having like the performance data there, so you can see what people are used to doing, you can see what they're doing in the gym, you can see what you're doing on the field. How transformative a change has that been?
Each sport is a different layer depending on where they are, but it's really been crucial because now, once the coaches, you know, understood the catapult and how the data was presented to them, we can go and look at it on a regular basis and say, and make a more of a definitive plan of how they come back to play, whether they were off 2 weeks or 4 weeks. We can kind of make a calculation and it gradually return so they can return and be full and not have any, you know, aches and pains, you know, because of that. So that's where and then it's also allowed us to see the information that strength and conditioning sees on a regular basis that we could get it instantly. So we could take a look at it to say like, oh, they are making these improvements in the weight room. This is really, and it also gives that athlete that feedback of, you are getting better. And so the fact that we don't have to rely on our strength performance and our athletic trainer have a conversation, which they will, but they both can see the information, you know, when they need to see the information.
Yeah, I love that. And I think oftentimes I had this conversation with maybe three people this week. And oftentimes people, when they think about this concept of, okay, I'm going to bring my performance team together with my medical team, the focus is on specifically what are the performance team going to do? What are they going to get from this? And I think that concept of the fact that what you can achieve from a sports medicine perspective by having access to that data is also so transformative. Like, thinking about return to play and rehab, which are huge concepts, like for every injury that we're treating, they are really important concepts. And they're really important for the athlete themselves in terms of their resilience, their robustness, their future, like career potential, et cetera, or athletic potential. And we often forget about that. And we look at the more traditional, hey, we're just treating, we're rehabbing somewhat with our one of our hands tied behind our back. But understanding what's happening in the weight room, understanding what's happening on the practice field, understanding what's happening in game, if we can have all of that information together as sports medicine practitioners, the decisions that we can make, the programs that we can write, how we return those athletes to performance is just a completely different spectrum. And I love that example. Josh, what about you guys? Have you cast your mind back to where you were at before you made this decision to jump in and to move away from a more traditional system? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, we were in much the same boat, you know, as Renee there. We were, you know, phasing out of an EMR system, right? That was, I believe you guys bought. And so we were making that transition. And along at that very same timeline, there was a very strong push from myself as far as trying to better integrate in sports science. And so just so happened that, you know, on top of your EMR, you also have this data analytics and sports science. And so it was kind of this perfect timing and perfect fit that we transitioned over to Kitman. And, you know, prior to that, we have a lot of technology integration, and that's from multiple different, you know, wearable technology between Catapult and Connexon, velocity-based training. We have GymAware, Football has Perch. We're also using a ton of Valid products, the Force platforms, Nordboard. So we had a lot of technologies that we already had. And what was becoming cumbersome for me, and what is cumbersome for a lot of sports scientists, is, all right, I have to go to each one of these individual platforms, export a CSV file. You know, there's just a lot of legwork to get this into one spot. And, you know, a lot of people are using Tableau or using Excel. And so it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of front end work. And then it's that daily, I got to down. It's just a lot. And so what was really exciting to me about Kitman was, all right, so we already have these technology. Kitman already has a lot of built-in APIs with these companies that automatically brings this data in. And then being able to get my hands dirty within your dashboards and your athlete metrics. And it was really nice to just have everything in one place. And to have all of these metrics that we collect across numerous technologies, and to be able to build graphs very easily. I mean, I know that sounds, you know, kind of plainly said, but the ability for me to look at, for instance, a Catapult or Connexon load versus the prevalence of injuries is just, I mean, I personally think it's a game changer, and it's affords me the ability to look longitudinally over a year at changes in any of the technologies we have, but more importantly, connect the dots. And so that's something that I've urged all of our strength and conditioning coaches and their athletic trainers for respective sports, is that at the end of the year, we've got a dashboard that you can pull over that looks at everything you guys collect and how does that correlate with injuries. And I think to me, that's the biggest thing, is being able to connect these dots and, you know, draw inferences about what was happening to drive actionable change. And as the sports scientist here on the Olympic side, that's my biggest thing that I communicate to both the sports med staff and our strength and conditioning staff. Don't just collect data to collect data. Let's collect data, put it in a way that's easy for you guys to visualize and talk about, and then let's drive actionable change out of that.
Yeah, I think that that really strikes a chord at me. Some of the examples of like the types of data that you brought together, I think it would be great. I have two parts of that to follow on from where you were, Josh, that I'd love to understand. One is like, what are the processes? Like, if you think about like your role across the Olympic sports, what are all of those processes that you wanted to centralize? So you used a couple of examples there of like bringing those pieces together, reporting, graphing, painting those pictures. But what were the processes that you were trying to centralize or the discussions that you were trying to power off that? And secondly, I'd love to understand, you know, where did you guys start, right? And then how have you expanded? Because that's a pretty big and chunky problem. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this today will think about that and like, will go, wow, with all those different data points, my mind is exploding with like, where would I even begin? You're working across a multitude of sports who all want to do that differently. Like, tell us about what were the most important pieces that you wanted to centralize, the most important processes and decisions that you were trying to power. And then also, where did you even begin?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Renee alluded to this too, is that it's program by program, right? Some things are more important for basketball than they are for soccer, whatever it is. I think the biggest thing I wanted to centralize was I wanted to have a conversation with the strength and conditioning coaches that are working with the respective sports, as well as the sports med staff with them, and ask them what is important to you? Like, what helps you better serve your team from both a strength and conditioning standpoint and sports med? And so once I got that information back, that really helped me narrow my focus as far as, okay, how do I visualize this and how do I build your dashboards out to help you do what you need to do, which is honestly kind of completely different from sport to sport. You know, for an example, you know, I'm in charge of doing our volleyball reporting, all sports science reporting, you know, that integrates in wearable tech from Kinexon. They use every piece of technology we have. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, for me, being able to build this dashboard and narrow down my focus a little bit, okay, what is important to coach? What is important to their strength coach? What's important to their sports med? And I can have that all, you know, on one dashboard that's quick and easy to PDF and get out. And so, you know, for me, yeah, it can be very overwhelming. But what I always tell people is, okay, figure out what's important to you. You know, for instance, you have somebody do a counter movement jump on a force platform. It gives you about 150 different metrics that you can look at. You know, so you do have to kind of look at these individual technologies and figure out, okay, what are the top five things that are important that come out of this? And that's what we're going to look at. And so that's kind of where we started. Let's get our tech integrations coming in, the data coming in to Kitman. What has been important to us in the past? Let's go ahead and visualize that, you know, both longitudinally. You know, I love looking at longitudinal data over the year, so we can easily get that data in there. And then, you know, I think for a lot of our strength coaches and a lot of our staffs, they want kind of continuous performance monitoring, right? Like, What was their jump today? What's that tell me? They jumped today. How does that compare to the last 4 weeks? And so that's kind of some of the biggest asks we get. Like, this is all great, but what's this mean? And so being able to alarm out reports, you know, your simple green is good, red is bad, you know, off a certain percentage of a rolling average. Like, we've done a ton of that for our strength coaches. You tell me what's important to you. I will build you this dashboard that's alarmed. And so all you need to do is look at this. You see a bunch of green, you guys are doing great. You see a bunch of red, we need to have a conversation about that. Why is that? So we started slow. I mean, we already had a lot of these integrations. And so the biggest part, the first part, was getting it into Kitman, right? Getting it all coming in, making sure the data's clean. And then from there, just simply asking our programs, hey, what's the most important thing to you? And then, you know, slowly building that out. You know, this was over, I mean, we've been working now 2 years with y'all, and there's still things we're working on. But I think it's really rewarding, you know, because each staff can kind of individualize what they're doing, what they want to see, and that gives them the best feedback that helps them.
Yeah, I think I love that aspect of simply asking the question of what matters. And I'm not sure it's quite that simple, but I will come back to that later. But I love that you've tried to boil it down to that simplicity. It's really great. Renee, what about you?
We started simple. When we went on board, we started with football because they were the sport that had their primary sports performance. And then we also did field hockey, which is a sport that I am overseeing. And so we took it that first year of just getting those two sports kind of integrated into everything and to say like, okay, now what can we look at? What can we see? How can we make a difference? And as we began to be more and more comfortable with it, then we slowly expanded it to the rest of our sports. And around that same time, we had a couple of our top five sports have had coaching changes and also have athletic trainer changes. And so in the meantime, we were able to collect all their information and let both individuals kind of settle into that first year. And then that next year come in and approach them and to say, hey, just so you know, you have these tools. Because we used to judge the end of the year, it would be like, okay, was it a good or bad year, depending on how many, you know, hamstrings strained you had and that. But now we can, what we've really done is tied it into the calendar. And when they have play a game, how they travel back, you know, what was their recovery period? You know, was there a big spike? And that's been the biggest thing with especially with the teams that are really using this program, is to make sure that we've taught them how to, our sports performance people have also taught them just that gradual, you know, incline. And so we don't get the spikes where it kind of validates all the things that we knew before, whether it's that first practice coming back from spring break or that first practice from a trip to the other side of the country. And so now, instead of just going by our gut feeling, it has given us some facts to back that up. And then the last thing is we had a lot of information, but we weren't necessarily taking action on that information. And so now, because different people can have different eyes on it, we can use that information, take an action, and then actually help, you know, keep the athlete on the field.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing from that is the joining of the dots, right? The connecting those pieces. And I think what's really cool to hear about that journey and transformation for you is that you've gone from having this process whereby at the end of the year, you look back on the year to see if it was a success or not. It's kind of like the hay's in the barn at that point, right? Whereas now you're in a position where, like, the week-to-week basis, like on the back of that travel, you can actually see those things coming together. You can understand how are people responding to what's happening? How are they responding to the travel? How are they responding to the game? How are they responding to practice? And that gives you the ability to make those decisions then, rather than waiting for the end of the year and seeing how did we go, right? I think it's those like boom, 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 those small little intermittent checkpoints that you're creating. And I think it's really impressive, and it's so great to hear those pieces kind of culminating and coming together to solve that. And Josh, I want to come back to your point around it's as simple as asking those questions, but I think it's the intention and how deliberate you both have been in your respective environments about doing that in a tailored way that I think is really impressive. And I know that you and I'm, hopefully I'm not speaking at a turn here, but I know that you and Connor went on, like Connor Norman went on a tour across the university to each of the sports programs that was very deliberate and very intentional, to go and sit down with each of the different stakeholders at each of the different sports and ask them what matters to them. And there's something like beautiful and simple about that approach, because you didn't walk in saying, hey, here we are with our system, here's what you guys should do. That, like, the fact that you went in and asked a very simple question as to what matters to you and built the programs uniquely for each of those sports, like, it's a really mature approach, number one. But number two, it also, like, you guys got to help each of those sports put their own fingerprint on what they believe mattered, how they wanted to implement their programs, and gave the power to them and really supported them. And I think you said it as it was simple. I think the reason I'm coming back to it is that I think for anybody else sitting out there looking at where do I start with something like this, like how do I eat this elephant because it's big, like that really simple approach of going and just stopping and reflecting and asking, not telling, I think is one of the reasons why, when we've seen this across multiple different programs, why both of your programs I think have been really successful, is because of that like mature approach that you guys have taken. So I wanted to come back to it because I know that you think it's simple, but it's probably not. It's not like that for everybody.
Part of it is, you know, Renee, you've been there for quite some time. I've, you know, been in the industry. I've been at Georgia for a long time, and, you know, building connections with people, I think, is huge. You know, at Georgia, we're in a unique situation. I've been here for so long. We have three or four, five, I think, coaches that I coached or was around when they were student athletes at Georgia. And so I've got, you know, that being said, I have great relationships with them. But, you know, I think the biggest part of it is, again, asking them, well, sometimes you're going to talk to coaches and they don't even realize like what they want. Right. And so within the technologies that they have already integrated into their program that they're using, a lot of the time I was like, well, hey, here's some examples of stuff that you have, and here's the availability of what we can do. You know, and sometimes a coach might be like, okay, yes, I want X, Y, Z. I want this. And some coaches are like, well, you know, I don't really know. And so in that aspect, it's like, okay, well, let me take a stab at this, right, and get you some information and get you a dashboard or send or filter that through your assistant coaches, whoever it is, and see where it lands with you. If you think it's helpful, that's great. We can use it. If you don't think it's all that helpful and, you know what you're doing, I'm not going to force it on you, right? And so that's a conversation as a sports scientist that I think I've almost nearly perfected at this point is that any sports science data that I give you or suggestions that I give you based off of objective data, which is hard to argue with, they are merely suggestions about how to take care of your student athlete and how to get them performing and how to get you to win. But at the end of the day, you are the head coach, right? And you make the decisions. And so, but again, I think those conversations and educating a little bit to the staffs has been really helpful. Like, you know, you have, you know, tennis, for example, they have something that monitors every single statistic that you can pull from tennis. Well, how about we correlate that to something, right? When, you know, exactly what Renee said, you guys just came from a West Coast trip, didn't have a lot of recovery time. And now your midweek match that you have a bunch of service errors. I mean, they're correlated. Is it causal? I don't know, but we could probably infer that maybe those things are connected.
Yeah, I think it's helpful too. Especially with coaches, sometimes they can get obsessed with numbers, and to realize that this is an instance where this is where you really have to take time and personalize it to the athlete or to the team, because they just want to maybe just hit a certain number that day. But it's also getting them to understand that it's something that takes over time. You know, like Josh said, the wins and losses are ultimately on them, and what they do, we can kind of help give them the guidance and the trajectory, and they can, you know, do whatever they want. They might say, you know, that they want their load to be 500 that day, but, you know, it was a good flow, and they, you know, they go over an extra hour. Was that a negative or a positive effect? So, and then it's really making it like what Josh said too, is personalized to every individual, and not just kind of saying, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're going for, because you really need buy-in from everybody to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this entire approach, right, that we're talking about is a collaborative approach. It only works, I think, if we have buy-in. So I think, yeah, 100% right. I think getting everybody involved and helping them to understand what's in it for them and asking them what matters to them. And I really like that concept of, you know, being able to also complement that what matters to you by being suggestive and saying, hey, here's some ideas, and maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't, right? I think it's a really great role in terms of facilitating continued growth and innovation as well for people, is to keep suggesting and, you know, almost sometimes borrowing and stealing from other sports as well, to be able to say, hey, volleyball does this. Maybe it doesn't work exactly like this for you, but what do you think? Is there a concept like this that could work for you that we could unpack? And I think that cross-pollination across sports can also be really valuable. And it's stuff that, again, we've seen, I think, across your programs that seems to work quite well. Would love to understand, we've talked a lot about this whole concept now, but What are the biggest benefits that you've seen? So moving from the world that you were in, where you did have those silos and you were using traditional systems, to now having that 360 degree view, like if you were to say, boom, 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 these are the top three things that we've got from that, you know, and it can be as boring as like, you know, we don't waste as much time collecting that data. Like what are like, I think those things are really powerful too. Like what are those things for you guys that have made a real difference?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, my first response is we're able to get all of this information, but the performance coach, the athletic trainer, the strength coach, just all they have to do is do their job. They don't have to do anything extra. So by making it seamless for everybody and to be able to show them, like, look at now, we can do all of these other things. And all you had to do was just continue to do what you were doing and document with what you're doing. I mean, that's honestly been the biggest reward and to reward the athletic trainer. Like, look at, you've kept adequate records. Look at now, this is actually going to come back and it can, you know, benefit you.
I think that might be my favorite answer of the day. I think we might have to bundle that on the website, because I mean that's the entire purpose of what we did, right? And the way that we've built the system is to try and map it to the workflow of each of the users, because we want exactly that. We don't want you to do anything extra, but by doing your job, but doing all of you doing your job together, look at all of the new possibilities that creates when we share that information. Look how more informed I am as I'm going through the decisions that I'm making, when I can see what's happening in those other areas. So that might be the best answer of the day so far. Josh, let's see if you can top it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge advantage for us as well, is that all of our strength coaches and our sports med were already very diligent about what they were doing and the data that they're collecting. It just makes it seamless for them, right? Is that just keep doing what you're doing. That's all we're asking you to do. And then let me know how you want to visualize it and what's going to be powerful for you and what's going to drive actionable change. And so I think that's been great. The other thing, you know, is that one of the things I love about data analytics, and for those people that are diligent about taking care of their student athletes, is being able to quantify what it is we do, right? One of the biggest things that I always hear from other strength coaches and from other athletic trainers is, I don't know how to prove my worth, right? Other than my team being successful or not being successful. Well, you know, I'm sure Renee would agree with this. Like, if my team is not good one year, does that all of a sudden make me a bad strength coach, or is it a bad athletic things like that? And so one of the things I've really talked to our sports med staff and our strength and conditioning staff is, you're already collecting all of this data. Now we can show, you know, kind of essentially how good you are at your job when your injury rates are low, or how many treatments did you administer, you know, throughout the year. Like, I think that's a powerful takeaway that we've had that I don't necessarily think people think a lot about, is, you know, in this day and age when sports are being siloed, and a lot of the time now you have strength coaches that are on contract, right, with a team, you know, being able to say, well, yeah, we weren't successful, but you had about a 90% availability rate of your student athletes on your team, which is very high, right? And so I think that's a powerful takeaway. The second thing I would say is that it just drives so much more conversation. You know, some of our strength coaches are like, wow, I didn't realize I could draw inferences or correlate between these things. And, you know, I don't know at all, but being able to have some of these conversations with our strength coaches about how, you know, the stressors that they're putting on them in the weight room, how that is affecting them physically, and what type of, you know, what are we looking at? Are we looking at peripheral fatigue? Are we looking at CNS fatigue? How do we modulate what they're already doing with very small tweaks to help them going in the right direction? And I think that's been unbelievable to help with our student athletes, and just, you know, continuing the trajectory they're on is getting better and also staying healthy.
I think that that interconnected nature of both the quantification of the impact that you guys are having in the job that you're doing, as well as then the quantification on the athlete side that helps with decision making, is huge. And it resonates a lot with me because I think most people and even other people involved in sport, in different aspects of it, I don't think understand the amount of work and effort that goes in. You know, having worked both in the training room and having worked on on the gym floor, the effort that goes in, the hours that go in, the number of sessions, number of treatments, number of rehabs. Now, I think most other stakeholders within elite environments will be surprised if you quantify that out and say, look how many treatments I did this month. Look how many rehabs I did this month. I think you'd be blown away. And if you quantified that through a dollar amount, the value that your organizations are getting, I think through some of the providers and practitioners that you guys have is mind blowing. It's staggering. If they were in private practice, the difference in terms of the dollar amount. And I think there is something really powerful about that because unfortunately, every team every year is not going to always be successful. So having the ability to showcase, okay, we didn't do it on the field this year, but look at the amount of care that we provided for the organization. Look at the amount of care we provided for the athletes. Look at the development increases that we saw. Look how much stronger they are. Look how much faster they are. Look how much more resilient they are. These are really cool, aspects of the roles that you guys do. And I think being able to develop those key performance indicators for departments that separate us a little bit from the overall team performance. Obviously, we care about the overall team performance, but there's also departmental objectives that I think that are really important. And I think the way that you guys have been thinking about that, the more that we can lean into that to help showcase, here's our contribution to overall success as well. I think that's there's something really special there. And as we bring together all of these data points, we enable ourselves to do that.
I think one thing that's unique is, for the past few years, from each, whether it's strength trainer, athletic training, been trying to, have just one athletic trainer, one strength coach, per team. And now that we're getting there, we've kind of flipped our mindset to look at burden to see, all right, how many treatments am I doing? But am I doing a lot of just little maintenance stuff? Or did I have these X number of long-term and this is what kind of took my time away? So now we're kind of able to dig deeper into, especially looking at some of those KPIs. So when we return an athlete, they don't become that chronic rehabber. So that's really now kind of our next step that we're looking at is how much time do we actually spend on minor things versus major things, and how does that differ per sport?
Yeah, I know that you guys have done, MSU has done some interesting analytics projects. I think that's kind of where you're going with that, which is now you're have the information, you're starting to dig a little bit deeper. You're trying to understand more about why, or, when you look at burden, what are we doing in these scenarios that's reducing or increasing, let's say, the time loss from things like that? Can you tell us more about, the impact of having interconnected data is having on the quality of the analytics or some of the projects that you guys have been running and what that's really meant?
Sure. So not only have we been able to integrate everything, what we're doing in the athletic world, we've been able to combine that with our kinesiology programs that are doing various research using VO2 max, Cybex testing, jump testing, DEXA scans, stiffness. And so depending on the study, we've been able to integrate the data from that also. And now we can look at a bigger 360 view. So now we don't have that standalone. We can overlap that with injuries, time of the year, and then everything also with strength and conditioning. And then by doing that, we can kind of start to narrow down what are really our five or seven key metrics? Is that by recording that CMJ number does that really mean anything? And so it's been rather fun, and I think some people have been surprised of how what really really affects the athlete. And I think over time I don't think we never can totally say we can prevent all injuries, but I think through this information we can mitigate because we're getting some of the answers or some of the cues that we could definitely reduce, hopefully that future burden. And then sometimes, unfortunately, there's just bad luck, but it allows us to see also a lot of trends over time, and it gets us a little deeper into the weeds besides just what we get in the weight room.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool point in terms of being able to take it, being able to ask one of those questions, being able to learn from that. Like you kind of mentioned it earlier, but like sometimes validating things that you're doing already, the gut or instinct that you have, right? I think as, you know, professional practitioners who have a lot of experience in the industry, there's a lot to be said for gut instinct and intuition. I think the difference and where this really plays a huge part is the quantification of that. It's the validation of certain things that we think or the invalidation of certain things that we think. But when we're just thinking it, we think these things have an impact. Well, how do we really instrument our decision making off a piece of data when we don't know when it becomes meaningful? I think that's where these type of processes really help. Would love to understand from both your perspectives, how do you think data and analytics then is helping you evolve your processes? So great, you guys are bringing it all together. Great that you're able to answer certain questions, etc. today. But how are you using information to really evolve what you're doing and change your processes and upgrade your processes based off that?
Yeah, again, driving actionable change and changing how we do things is paramount to why we collect all this data. And I mean, some very simple things, you know, we're not doing right now, we're not doing formal research, but like when we see trends in how our teams train and the stressors we put on them, how travel affects them, how being in season affects them, and we can see those changes and have conversations and tweak their training methodology, and then we see things improve. I think that's huge, right? And that's from a strength and conditioning aspect. You know, take that bigger up to a program. You know, coaches, some of them have a good feel for periodization throughout the year. Some coaches, you mentioned the word periodization and they may have no clue what you're talking about. And they just work off of, this is how we kind of ebb and flow through the season, right? When you can show programs their natural variation or maybe lack thereof, right? And how that affects the student athlete, how that affects winning and losing, then it starts to become really powerful with your staff. And I can give an example. A number of years ago, we started looking at, okay, what are we doing 2 days out from a game? What are we doing one day out from a game? And that has been kind of, you know, a staple across sports the last 4 or 5 years. But more often than not, that particular year, when we did too much the day before a game, we lost. Again, correlation's not causation. I understand that. But when we had the reverse, when we went 2 days out, we went a little bit longer, a little bit harder. One day out was a little bit shorter, a little easier. More often than not, we won. And so I was kind of able to boil down some of this data and connect the dots again with our staff, and the light bulbs kind of go off, right? And then ever since then, that has really changed. That pattern has been, you know, 2 days out, a little long, you know. And so, again, does that always lead to a win if we hit that pattern? No, there's a million other variables that go into it. But for me, you know, that process of being able to communicate that, and again, depending on your coaching staffs, some might be really open to data, some might not be. But when you can have objective data that shows that if you do this, you have a higher chance of winning, that definitely strengthens those bonds a little bit. And when you can visualize it, it's even stronger.
No, I think when you what you've said that really lights it up for me is when you start with why, right? And again, it comes back to your message earlier about simplicity, but that old Simon Sinek rule of like starting with why, like you guys understand why you're doing it. So like you have coaches that are, you know, very data forward, and you have coaches that don't really understand the value of it. But I think if you boil it down to the simplicity of, well, why are we doing this? What actually matters? What are we trying to achieve here? And showing that relationship between, okay, when we win, we look like this. When we don't win, we look like this. When we're strong, we look like this. When we're not strong, we look like this. When we're well recovered, we look like this. When we take it back to those simple aspects of why are we doing this? What are we collecting this for? It really makes it very simple for people to get on board. Like, what coach doesn't care about when we win, we do these things. When we don't win, we do these things. I mean, they're in the business of winning and losing, right? So I think everyone cares. We've obviously talked a lot about this, and the conversation has been really fascinating. I could stay on here all day with you guys, but from the outside, I think as simple as you guys have talked about, hey, here's the steps that we've gone through, this can still seem like a complex process for people that you know, haven't started down the journey that you're on, or maybe want to start down there and want to make a move there. But for people that are trying to do that and don't know where to start, like, what would you recommend? Like, where should they start? How does somebody move from where you guys were at to, you know, to where you're at today? Like, can you unpack that in the simplest format for others that may want to follow you guys?
That's good. It's kind of, it's I think a little bit of persistence, and to know that, again, it's another piece of change. We're used to change in athletics. We're used to, having to, you know, switch our mindset and our day on a daily basis. Is that not to be afraid to move forward and to not be afraid of the unknown, and be willing to continue to learn and educate yourselves on what is going on. Because really, this, even though it seems really complicated, once it gets all put together, you know, makes things really simple. So, but I also think you need to have, you know, the right staff, to help with that, instead of just, you know, having staff that, you know, I'm kind of interested in this, but to have, you know, develop, like, who do you, you know, identify who you have on campus and with your teams or strength coach or assistant coaches, that you can kind of start to build your own network and expand from there. Because once coaches talk to each other, so once, you know, there's good things that happen with other teams, that's going to kind of carry over and say, hey, look, this is what they're doing. And they're seeing all this success. So really just try to, you know, keep it simple, start simple, and things will really just kind of fall into place.
Yeah. I mean, I'll echo that. Start simple. The biggest thing for us was, you know, and I'm looking at this from a sports science, strength and conditioning standpoint. What do we collect already? How do we get it in there? Okay, let's just get stuff in there. Let's get our athletes onboarded and in there and make sure that, you know, we understand how we link these different technologies to a student athlete, so everything comes in cleanly. And, you know, that was my primary focus, really, for the first 4 to 6 months of onboarding, was let's just make sure we got the data coming in. We've got it. We can access it via, you know, I can go to the Valid Hub. I can go on Kettlebell. I can still see everything how I see it, where I need to see it. Get the data in there. And then as you get comfortable with it and the data's in there, now you can start to visualize. Now you can start to make some of these deeper connections and correlations and things like that. But the first thing is getting the data in, which honestly is pretty simple, especially with a lot of these built-in APIs, and you have a lot of different ways that you can import data. Whatever data you want to import into Kitman, you can get in there one way or another. And so, you know, once you understand those processes, it becomes very, very easy to get data in there. And so, you know, that would be always my first thing. Just get it coming in, make sure it's coming in well, and then just build off of that.
Yeah, crawl, walk, run. Okay, well, I got before we wrap up, I've got maybe one or two more questions, but one's a little trickier than the last one. For people that are on the journey, or for people that are thinking about going on the journey, it's not always like plain sailing, right? This stuff doesn't happen like, and everything's perfect, and we live in a perfect utopia, right? It'd be great for people to understand, like, what are the biggest challenges that you guys have run into? Like, the single biggest challenge that you've run into as you've tried to do this within your organizations, and how you've overcome that. I think it'd be really helpful for people. It's the stuff that nobody wants to talk about, but I think will be incredibly valuable.
Yeah, for us in the beginning, it was the EMR system, because everybody was so ingrained in how it used to be, how their workflow used to be, is really just taking that time to be like, okay, you know, here it is. And the nice thing about the platform is it's continued to grow and it's continued to expand. So a lot of things have gotten easier or smoother. Being supportive, especially with the athletic training, is because, again, it was very different. But the good thing is, because it is cloud-based, it is web-based, you know, they can work on it and enter information, you know, at any time. And that was really my main focus, was in the athletic training piece. And then working with our director of performance to integrate all the APIs. And then now slowly over time, you know, working my way around through the different strength coaches and then the athletic trainers, bringing them into the platform. Again, we could have 80 people looking at it, but you get to look at what you want to look at. If you don't want to see that dashboard, cause it's just too much, you don't have to. So that's what's nice. If you have someone on staff who's like, I just want to do this, that's great. You know, as long as they do that, because it'll benefit everybody else.
Yeah, I think very similarly here at UGA is on the sports med side of things, getting everybody up to speed. You know, they're, like Renee said, they're so used to a previous system of how they enter soap notes, doctor, everything. And that was a challenge for our strength and conditioning coaches. I don't think it was as much of a challenge because they were already collecting a lot of this data. It was just simply kind of teaching them how to get it in to the system. But what I kind of spoke to before was, you know, from an adherence standpoint, look, at the end of the year, or even as we're going, I can show you a lot of value, right, of what you did, or right, or how little of an injury prevalence you had that year, or how much better your student athletes got, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. Like, I can show you a lot of that, but the only way I can show you a lot of that is if you're diligent about getting your information in, right? And so I know, especially with a lot of our athletic training staff, is how do I show my worth? And kind of like I mentioned before, well, I can show you how to show your worth now, right? Or how to evaluate yourself and be objective about what you actually did, how good you are at your job this year. And so I think that rang a couple bells of, oh, you mean to tell me if I make sure I mark somebody in or out of practice, then I get a percentage availability? Like, there were many instances of that. And then when I show them an end of the year report and say, hey, you did a great job, you know, whatever it is, whatever statistic it is, that definitely helped with the adherence of it.
Yeah. And also realizing you're not gonna please everybody. What's unique about Kidman is usually there's two or three different ways to do something. So it depends, you know, how that individual works. And so, like what Josh said, over time at the end of the year, they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I think that concept of like even tailoring the workflow and experience for people, or doing things in slightly different ways for different people. Different people are different types of learners. They work in different ways, and I think having that flexibility and utility is hugely important. But, like I think we've used the word simple lots, and that's probably the key take home message from today and from this discussion. But you know, whilst we've always aimed for this to be simple and to start simple, there is a lot of complexity to doing this, even when you're doing it simple, right? It's not perfectly straightforward, and I think that's why it's always been really important for us that this is not, hey, you're buying our software and we'll see you later. I think we've really aimed to have this as a partnership. We've really aimed to be involved. Like, can you talk to how important that aspect of the relationship, that real partnership aspect, the access to our team, working with like staff members on the Kidman side, how important has that been in you guys unlocking some of the outcomes that you've achieved today?
Yeah, that's key. And I forgot to mention that is the support that comes with this is, you know, obviously it's phenomenal, but it's almost like we have our own, from an athlete training standpoint, we have our own, you know, data analytic expert. We have our own person that we could, you know, talk or you know, ask questions about, okay, this is what I'm looking for. How can I, you know, see it this way, from, or having someone else to be able to do that deep dive. I know we talk a lot about data and analytics, but we don't have to be the ones that are necessarily, you know, doing that. It's the support that your group, provides, and they've also challenged and pushed us to start thinking and going down, you know, a different road and given us a lot of feedback of just really how to move forward and build those relationships. And then along with building a relationship with your team, because it makes the program that from the outside might seem really complex, really I hate to say it again, you know, is simple because of the support. You do not have to navigate through that all by yourself to create a workflow. You can, you know, easily talk with someone from your support team and say, have you tried this or have you looked at it this way? So that constant support, that in-person support has been very, very helpful, very crucial.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. I mean, that's one of the biggest pieces of why we've been successful. And I love it from a, you know, I have a contact that I can work through day-to-day minutia, right? Troubleshooting, how do I get this here? How do I, you know, little stuff, right? But what I think has been really beneficial is this, you know, 360-foot view, you know, 3,000-foot view, whatever it is, of how are we doing things as a program, right? As an institution, and how can we help you drive change or drive adoption? And the other thing is the people that we're working with, they're working with a ton of other programs, universities, sports, pro sports, whatever it is. So they have this knowledge of how it's done before, or see how other people organize and do things. They evaluate kind of where we're at, right? And they can make suggestions that they've seen work in other places, right? Like as UGA adopting Kitman Labs, I don't know what I don't know, right? And so for them to be able to help, you know, hey, we've seen it work, you know, in this regard, we've seen it work this way. What best fits for your current situation, I think was super helpful, you know, getting this thing going and off the ground. And then again, from the day to day, you know, I have a bunch of little stuff that, or I have ideas and I don't know how to bring them to fruition. And that's a simple email or that's a simple text message or call. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Can you troubleshoot that for me? Can you figure out how we can do that? And, you know, that's helped a lot. And then I've got other strength coaches now that are on there and going, hey, I would love to be able to do this. Can Kitman do this? I'm like, let's ask, you know, let's just ask them and see if they can do it. And so that's been really nice to be able to have that just very easy communication. You know, Tyler and I we're texting each other randomly, weird hours. He's getting back, you know, he understands how the athletic world is and that some things need to be handled immediately and some things we can figure out down the road. And so it's just been very easy and very beneficial for us.
Yeah, it's incredible to hear. And I think it's why we've been very deliberate and intentional about hiring people like that, like Tyler that you spoke about, like Brian Bernstein that you both spend a lot of time with. We hired people that have worked in sport, that have done your jobs, that have sat in your shoes, you know, and I think that's really important for the reasons that you just mentioned, that they get what's important and what needs to happen now because of the environment that you work in and what potentially can be a conversation next week or a conversation tomorrow. And that, you know, it's a very different model, but it's one that's really important for us because we feel like these relationships, these partnerships are journeys, right? They're not destinations. There isn't an end point, right? There isn't a, hey, we're going to declare success with Michigan State tomorrow or UGA next week. These programs are constantly evolving. We're constantly asking new questions. We're constantly trying to improve together. And we can only do that if we are in lockstep. If we sell you a piece of software and we never talk to you again until like it's time for you guys to like sign your new contract, like we're not learning, we're not growing, and you guys are not growing, and therefore we're at a standstill, and therefore you're not going to like us. So I think it's been great. And it's also why I think, you know, we love working with both of your organizations. I think we're so proud to be involved in both of those programs, not just because of the brands and who you guys are, but probably even more so because of the way that you work, right? And the way that you guys want to engage with us and work with us and grow together. So, Renee Klasinski and Joshua Rucci, thank you so much for being here today. You two certainly are game changers, and we are incredibly proud to be working alongside you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks to you.